So we'll be in Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. Now, the resurrection of our Lord may be likened to the first day of creation, when the earth was created. And it may be likened to that day. And if you think about it, when our Lord lay in the grave, when he was in that grave, there was darkness. There was darkness upon the earth. There was darkness in the minds of the disciples. And there was darkness and a lack of understanding. We didn't know the things that we know today. There was darkness, and there was doubts and fears, and the brethren didn't understand what was going on. They believed, they hoped in Christ. And so these women, when they had in their heart to go to the gravesite, to go to where the Lord was laid, that they might anoint him, John tells us in John 20, verse 1, that they went when it was yet dark. When it was yet dark. And you think about that description of darkness, and you can see how we may think of creation in the beginning. Right? God created the heavens and the earth. And we're told in Genesis 1, verse 2, that the earth was without form, it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, we understand that likely Christ rose from the grave. He rose while these women were in transit, when they were coming to the gravesite. And so it says there in Mark 16, verse 2, that very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. At the rising of the sun, which means that light began to shine upon the darkness that was upon the earth. And it began to be light, right? And this is a fitting description of the resurrection of our Lord. In the scriptures, our Lord is called the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star. So it's I believe that while they were coming, they set out in darkness, and while they were coming in that darkness, just as they got there and the light arose, our Savior had risen from the dead. He was now risen from the dead. He was awakened. And again, we see this in creation, right? When our God brought to light and life upon this earth. In its creation day, he said in Genesis 1:3, let there be light. And there was light. And so, our Savior, in his resurrection, he has wrought salvation for us. In his death and in his resurrection, he now brings to light the knowledge of our salvation. He now shines light into the darkness of our hearts, giving us light and life, whereby we now know what he has done and accomplished for us. How that he has delivered us from the condemnation and the judgment and wrath that is due to us for our sins. And he did this when he rose from the grave. And Paul, when he was speaking to Timothy, wrote in 2 Timothy 1:10 that this new creation salvation, right, that's what we are, new creatures, and this new creation salvation is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, right? He delivered us from death, that second death, and hath and also taken away the power of the first death, and hath brought to life and immortality, and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, right? So light now shines upon our dark hearts. The gospel light, the gospel truth of our salvation, that God, in his sovereignty, of his sovereign choosing, chooses whom he shall bless and be gracious to. God chooses this. And so God brings it to light in the hearts of those whom he will, of those whom Christ died and shed his blood for. So, in Christ, the reason why his resurrection in him, we are created anew. Right? We are new creatures in Christ. We are, as our Savior said in John chapter 3, he was speaking to Nicodemus and said, ye must be born again. And so we are. By the power and the glory of God, we are born again. Not as man of the flesh teaches, by our own choosing. Right? We don't make ourselves born again. Our Savior makes us born again according to his choosing, according to his resurrection power, and according to his grace. He makes us alive, giving us life by his spiritual seed. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now this morning, I want to look at these blessings, several blessings that are witnessed here in our Lord's resurrection. Our title is Witnessed at the Resurrection. Witnessed at the Resurrection. Because these things are witnessed to us, and we witness them, and we see them, and understand these things at his resurrection. And so the first thing I want to bring out at our Lord's resurrection is our understanding of the Sabbath. The Sabbath. And the reason why is if you look there at Mark 16, it declares these words. It says, and when the Sabbath was passed. And when the Sabbath was passed. And these words mean more than simply, yesterday was Saturday, yesterday was the Sabbath day, and now it's the day after that. There's more that the Spirit is communicating to us through these words. These words weren't put here for nothing. And so, if you look at a literal translation, if you take a literal translation, and there's several out there, there's many out there. Mine is from J.P. Green, and it reads like this, in Mark 16, verses 1 and 2. I'll read this. And the Sabbath having passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices, so that coming they might anoint him. And very early, on the first of the Sabbaths, that's how it is in the literal, in the original Greek, and very early, on the first of the Sabbaths, the sun having risen, they came upon the tomb. So, the first day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ began the Sabbaths. Right? That's the first of many Sabbaths began on that first day when Christ rose from the dead. And what the Lord's teaching us here, what he's revealing to us, is that every day in Christ is a Sabbath day of rest. Every day in Christ is a Sabbath day of rest. And this is because the Spirit's showing us, turning us from letter religion, just looking to the shadow of things, to see the substance, which is Jesus Christ. And Christ himself is the Sabbath rest of the believer. He's the one in whom we now rest. Christ, in Scripture, is also called the day star. The day star. He's the day star. In 2 Peter 1:19, he writes, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. We're to take heed and consider the gospel, to consider the Lord of our salvation and what he's bringing to life. And he says, take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's our wicked hearts. We're guilty sinners, unable to save ourselves. And he says this, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Christ is the day star, brethren. And Christ himself is the day in which we now live in him. It's an eternal day. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no light and then darkness, and light and then darkness. He is the day of our salvation. He is our Sabbath rest. Christ is the day of rest for you, brethren. And Matthew is also careful to say to us, to declare this, again, in the literal translation of Matthew 28, verse 1, he says, but the Sabbath having ended, right, that legal Sabbath day having ended, it's put away now, Christ is risen, at the dawning of the first of the Sabbaths. The first of the Sabbaths. And I know, I'm well aware that there are those that say, well, this was on Sunday, and so this is now the new Sabbath day. No, it is not. Christ is our Sabbath day. Stop looking to the flesh, to the flesh, and to the works of the flesh, and to what we understand of this earth in the flesh. Look to Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the day of Sabbath rest. He is our rest. And so, in our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, that Old Testament law of Sabbath keeping is past, having ended. It's been done away now because the substance who cast the shadow is now here. The substance, which is Christ, is now here. And so, we do keep the Sabbath. We do keep the Sabbath, very much so. But it's kept in looking by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Basically what he's saying is that our labors have ceased. Our labors to make ourselves righteous, right, under the law of Moses, or under any act that we might be tempted to do in religion, those labors to clean ourselves up, to make ourselves righteous, to make ourselves more acceptable to God, all those are put away in Christ so that we rest from our labors in Christ. We rest from our labors in trying to justify ourselves, in trying to sanctify ourselves. They're all put away in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that as God the Father is satisfied, so are we. As God the Father is satisfied with His Son Jesus Christ, so are we. And by grace, we know that, and we understand that He is our satisfaction. And so, the Scriptures teach us throughout that Christ has fulfilled the law for us, brethren. Paul, when speaking in Romans 10, verse 4, Paul speaking of this, it says that Christ is the end of the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Right? Christ is our righteousness. So that in Christ we stand faultless before the throne of God. In Romans 7, verse 4, Paul says, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Right? So that we see in that He, with His body, He, as our sacrifice and substitute, He laid down His body, and He died our death, and His body was laid in the grave, and His body rose again. And that's our salvation. And so that now we are delivered from the body of sin, under its reign and influence, and we are now under the dominion and reign and rule of Jesus Christ. We're in His body now. Alright, and so in Christ, Paul goes on saying in Romans 6:14, ye are not under the law, but under grace. And so, brethren, rest in Christ for holiness and sanctification. Rest in Christ for holiness and sanctification. And I can say that knowing that Paul assures, Paul writing by the Spirit to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, he says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us, faithful is He. Not you and me, but faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Alright, so we live in Christ. And He He's not now turning salvation's work over to us to sanctify ourselves and clean ourselves up. In other words, he's going to work in our hearts so that we live in him. His grace will be evident in us, and he'll call us to serve him. All right? So rest in Christ. Don't doubt Jesus Christ. Don't think, well, he did his part, now I've got to do my part. That's what dead religion teaches. Our sanctification is our very life in Christ. He's going to bear in us by his spiritual seed the fruits that please him. In Romans 6, verse 8, Paul tells us, if we be dead with Christ, and we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Right? We believe that as he rose from the dead, so shall we. But we also see and understand that that life begins right now. Right now, here. Right, while we wait and look for his return. He tells us in Romans 6, 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves right now to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, so that resurrection power that raised our Savior up from the grave, up from the dead, is the same resurrection power that moves and works and exercises the grace of God in us, so that by that spiritual seed of Christ our husband, we bring forth fruit unto God. And we live now by Jesus Christ. He is our sanctification. Okay, now, we can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Sabbath rest. So, listen, the Holy Spirit declares to you and me that the Sabbath is past. Right? We're not observing a legal day, and we ought not to bind another person telling them that they are to obey a legal Sabbath day. And we're not to bind ourselves or to hear them. We're not to be bound by a legal Sabbath day. In Colossians 2, 16 and 17, Paul says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. So understand that the substance has come. Right? He did the work of delivering us from Adam's body of sin. Right? He took us out from under the law, and so that now in him we are righteous. And so you could be certain that as he took us out of that body of sin, that he will complete the work of his salvation and bear fruits of righteousness in his people by his grace and power. So I say this just in closing this point on the Sabbath, that we are to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to rest in him. He said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, now, the next thing that we witness at the resurrection of our Savior is the power of his grace. Power of his grace. Now we've seen how Christ is risen from the dead, how that he is alive now, and how that he is our sanctification. But when we look at ourselves, when we look at our walk, when we look at our faith, when we look at our faithfulness and the things that we say or do, we're rather unimpressed with ourselves. We're not typically very high on ourselves. When we look at our gifts that we seem to have, or our abilities and how we exercise them, and what we do with the knowledge of our Savior that we have, we look at our service and we're not very impressed. And when you think about the women that are here in this text, you can imagine that they felt powerless. They felt helpless. Right? When they saw Savior on the cross, they must have felt powerless and helpless to do anything for their Lord. And they weren't able to, they would have taken him off the cross if they could, but they were powerless to do it. They couldn't help him in his dying hour, and so they looked on and were afraid and discouraged at what they were seeing. And now he's dead, and they're trying to reconcile that he's dead. In their minds, this is what they believe. Yet, even while they're in this darkness to what our Lord was accomplishing there in his death, and that he was to rise again, we see the grace of our God drawing these women to come. And there's something in their heart where they want to honor him and to serve him. And so the Lord draws them in this dark hour to go and to do what they can, right? And so they went forth in darkness. John telling us, 20 verse 1, when it was yet dark, these women went forth in darkness. They didn't have light. They didn't know what was going on, and yet they still went forth serving the Lord because they had no hope of his resurrection. They weren't thinking about that, of what he had told them at all. And we read, let's read again in Mark 16, verses 1 and 2. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices. Right? They had gone to a market where they sold spices, and they would have purchased the spices either before the Sabbath or early in the morning here while it was yet dark. They went and purchased these spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And so they couldn't do much, but they did what they could. They did what the Lord laid on their heart. I'm sure they didn't think much of it at all. They just wanted to honor him. They loved him. They felt a debt of gratitude toward him. For what he had done, how he had served them when he was here on the earth, and what he did for them. And so they wanted to do what they could for him. And so in this, we see a principle of love at work here, right? A principle of love. In Luke 7, 47, where there was a sinful woman who came and wept at the feet of Christ, and covered his feet with her tears, and she wiped his feet with the hairs of her head, it says. And Christ commented on this. He said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And then he tells us, we know this, it's made apparent to us in her actions, right? For she loved much, right? That's not why her sins were forgiven. Her sins were forgiven in Christ. But we see that because her actions show that she loved much. Right? They show this because there she was weeping at his feet. And he says, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And so we see and we understand that where the heart is righteous, right? When we see ourselves as righteous and just and at least better than the other person next to us, there's little love there. Right? We don't. When we think that there's very little that Christ needs to do for us, there's not a lot of love there. That's just so. But where we see what great sinners we are, there's tremendous amounts of love there. And the more of a sinner that we see and know ourselves to be, and that Christ has saved us, the greater the love that's in our hearts. And so we see that there, and that while it was yet dark, right, they wanted to honor their Lord. And they went forth not even knowing how they would get into the tomb. Or at least while they went on their way, they began to think, huh, we know there's a great stone in the way, how are we even going to get in there? So you can see, they went forth in darkness, and it certainly should help us in our service to see how they served even in darkness, not knowing necessarily how it would be used or how, whether it would be, you know, useful in some way or needful, but they still went forth even darkness. And so be encouraged, brethren, when the Lord lays it on your heart to serve Him and to serve a brother or a sister who may be in need, even though you're in darkness, as to whether or not they really are. Now, in verse 3, Mark 16:3, we read, "They said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" All right, now it's worthy of note that, like these women, we ourselves get to worrying about things, right? We get to worrying about things. And the thing to think about here is that we worry about these things and they may never even become a real problem for us, right? We worry, we get afraid, we start thinking through, this is going to happen, and this is going to be a problem, how are we going to get past this, and this is an obstacle for us, and yet it may never be a problem for us. And we see that in the next verse, verse 4. "When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." And so, it's good for us to remember, especially in times like this, where our minds get to racing, right? When we become afraid and fearful of what may be, and if this doesn't change, these things are going to happen, and this is how it's going to play out, and all this is going to come crashing down, and we get to worrying like that. And yet, like these women, we see that just because we worry about it, just because we think this is what's going to happen, we find that we're actually very often wrong. And something may happen that we don't like, but it's rarely ever the thing that we think it's going to be. It's usually something very different from what we ourselves are worried about. And so don't forget this. Just remember how trust the Lord. Go forward, trust in the Lord, even though we're dark in darkness to what the outcome may be. But we see also, why worry? Because we can't change it, and it's probably not even going to be an issue, though we ourselves worry about it. And our Lord tells us this in Matthew 6. He said in Matthew 6, 27, that which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit of stature? Right? How can we change our lives just because we've taken thought of it and are worrying about it? And he goes on saying in verse 31, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" And he goes on, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So those are good words for us to remember. And now the next thing that we see here that's connected to this is that the gospel is ministered to these ladies that are in darkness, these ladies that were worrying about things and had problems or obstacles in their mind that didn't even come to pass. We see that the Lord ministers the gospel to them. Right? And that shows us what we need. We always need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord ministers the gospel to these women by sending an angel to comfort them. He sent an angel to be their minister. And that's why even preachers are likened to angels in the scriptures, in Revelation there, in chapters 2 and 3. They speak of the angel of the church, of which is the preacher, the pastor there of that church. And so, here's a real angel, though, and this angel is sent to comfort them. Now, they're afraid. Right? They're afraid. They don't know what's going on. Their whole world is turned upside down. Right? Everything they thought they knew, the hopes that they had, have completely been dashed before them. They're afraid. They're worried. They don't know what's going on. You can see the similarities to what we might have, right? What we probably have when we think about what's going on. And so the Lord sends them a minister, an angel, to declare the resurrection of Christ. Look at verses 5 and 6 in our text, Mark 16. "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he's not here, behold, the place where they laid him. And so, what the Lord is showing us here, and what I want you to see here is that, take comfort. Take comfort in the Lord. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and hear his word to you and me. The angel says, be not frightened. Don't be afraid. You don't need to worry. I'm not here to harm you, but to declare good tidings to you. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. You're looking for the Christ. You want to see him and know him. This Christ, remember, was crucified. He was crucified. When he died on that cursed tree, in our place, bearing the sins of his people, right? Bearing them in his body, so that we, when he died, we died with him. We died unto the law. We died unto the curse of the law. We died under the wrath of God in Christ. He bore our stripes. He bore our sorrow. He bore the wrath of God in his own body, against himself, in our place, as our substitute, as the sacrificial Lamb of God sent to take away the sin of his people scattered throughout the world. You see Christ? Remember, he was crucified for you. He was crucified to put away your sin so that now we are accepted of God in him. We may stand before the throne of God perfectly acceptable without fault before him in love. Remember, he says he's risen. He was crucified, he is risen. He's not here. Right? He's not here and subject to the weakness of the flesh. He's risen, sitting upon the throne and with all authority and power, implementing the will of God in the earth. And he's working all things together for your good. He's bringing all these things together to pass for the good of his people and the salvation of his people. Right? So remember, our Lord is risen. In Romans 5:10, we're told that if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Right? So remember that. When he was crucified to put away our sins. And he's alive now. And we're alive in him. Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so, whatever fearful sights we might see in this time, or in some time in the future, whatever fearful sights we might see, whatever adversities are fed to us, whatever afflictions are given to us to drink, remember that our Savior is risen and that we are accepted of him. We're accepted of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that by Christ's substitution, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Alright. Now let's look at our final point here, which is the grace of our God does not change. It does not change. That's what we'll see here. So we have full assurance and confidence now in Christ. Right? That's what we're learning. That's the knowledge that he's revealing to us through this gospel. We are alive in him. He's done all the work of salvation. Everything necessary that we needed, Christ has accomplished it in himself. And so we see here in this passage that we're coming up to verse 7, the love that our Savior has for his people. It never changes. Look at verse 7. He says to these women, now having heard the gospel, having been ministered to with the gospel, he says, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And so the Lord here now directs the angel, his minister that he sent, to tell them, right, and to tell these ladies. And then these ladies go forth, and they go and tell his other disciples, right? And so he sends them to declare these things, to declare the gospel to those disciples which forsook him. Right? Go tell the disciples who forsook their Lord that he is risen. And go tell Peter, who denied his Lord, that he is risen. And tell them that he's gone before them into Galilee. Tell them that their sins are pardoned, that they have forgiveness of the Savior, of the Lord. They are forgiven in him. Go and tell them this glorious good news. And this is encouraging to us. This is needful for us to hear and to be reminded that the love of our God for us is conditioned not on you and me or what we do or don't do. It's conditioned entirely upon Jesus Christ. And that's a good hope, because Christ is faithful in all that he does. He didn't fail. He doesn't change. He's perfect. And God is satisfied with his Son. And so all the hope of our salvation is entirely resting on the Lord Jesus Christ, not you and me. So when we look at our weaknesses and our failings and how we come up short of the glory of God because we're sinners, that doesn't change the love of God toward us, because it's all founded in Jesus Christ alone. So, you know, when why we struggle or where we struggle in this is because we think of how we would be toward those who forsook us and denied us and abandoned us when we needed them most, and how angry we would be, right? Especially those that we love, those that are closest to us, we get even more angry and more hurt when they forsake us or fail us or abandon us in some way. And so we would be angry. But the Lord here shows us that his love for us doesn't change, even though we're weak, squirrely little scoundrels in our flesh. Right? And it's only by his grace and mercy that we bring forth fruits unto God. So our Lord is very gracious. He tells us in Micah 7, verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." And thanks be to God who delights in mercy. And he may be merciful to us because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. All right, so now, with this news, we're told in verse 8, "And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." And so joy and amazement filled their hearts. And they were overwhelmed. I've no doubt about it. They were overwhelmed. They were fearful and just wondering what is going on. But the Lord was laying it to their hearts. And they eventually were able to be settled in Christ and believe and rest in him. So they had just learned of his resurrection. And just as he said. Just as he said. And so, brethren, I pray that the Lord would communicate that word, that Christ is risen, that he is raised from the dead, that you would be encouraged and thankful, and that you would be strengthened in your hearts and in your minds of your Savior and what he's accomplished for you and for me, that you'll be accomplished with this good news of his resurrection and be made to rest in Christ, who is our Sabbath day rest. I pray the Lord bless that word to your heart.